All right. Hey there, sports fans. We've got WHMP Sports here. I've got Laura Kepich on, and we are going to talk about Jigger Johnson. Laura was there to crew and pace. So we want to hear from about Jigger Johnson from someone who actually was, you know, fully conscious the whole time. So, Laura, how did you end up at Jigger Johnson?
I was actually supposed to do the race. I had signed up for the 100K, but I wasn't in shape to do it. I knew that, you know, well in advance. So I deferred my registration. And when I did that, I put a note out on, I think the Women's 100 Miler Project had a separate group for Jigger Johnson for people who had signed up. And I asked if anyone wanted a pacer. Because I planned on going anyway to check out the course and the race and just go up there because I had the time, already taken off from work and everything. So Sarah Mocker replied and said that she would be happy to have a pacer. So that's sort of how I ended up there. I went up there to pace Sarah.
All right. And then we know Sarah ended up DNFing. She had some, I think she had some injury issues. So you're already out there. Had you seen those trails before?
No. I've heard about how difficult they might be. And I have a friend who lived in New Hampshire, and I spend some time in Maine every year, a couple of weeks. And a lot of the course descriptions sounded to me like some of the trails in Maine. So I asked my friend and she said, yeah, it's quite similar. They just might be longer and steeper. So I kind of had a rough idea of what the course might be like. And that's also why I decided that I kind of knew I wasn't trained up enough to run the 100K. But I really wasn't prepared, I think, fully for the intensity of that course. That's for sure.
Well, it looks like we've got Carmel joining too. So while you were out there, you actually did accomplish something that few runners can say that they've done, and that's pacing Carmel.
Yeah.
Carmel is a lone runner. She does like training runs. She's like, yeah, I'm just going to do my own thing. Like all her hundreds, never has pacer. The only person I know she's run with is Lee when they're both running the race. And usually they don't even run together. They did like Cocodona together. But you pulled it off. You managed to join Carmel for her race.
Yeah. You know, I think, so after Sarah, who put in an awesome, amazing effort, I mean, she actually got really quite far and was out on the course for quite some time. After I knew I wouldn't be pacing Sarah, so that was like Friday, the race started Friday morning. And then on Saturday, I guess early morning, I knew that Sarah had dropped. And so on Saturday, I was sort of monitoring the race and seeing, you know, the number of people dropping. And I knew at one point that, I guess a little bit later in the day, that Lee and Carmel are the only two women left in the race. And I knew neither of them really ever used pacers. But I also knew how tough the course was and how bad the conditions were, because it pretty much rained, you know, for the first at least almost full day. So it was wet. And Sarah had told me how rough the course was. I was thinking about it, you know, I was there, I was ready to pace someone. And I checked in with Tina Gary. I sent her a Facebook message and I think I said something like, hey, Tina, I know Carmel doesn't really, you know, ever use pacers, but do you think she might entertain having one this time? Because she'd be going basically into her second night on this horrible course. And it's a real, you know, the course is a bitch, right? Like it's really bad. And I said, and I was thinking about it even for safety reasons. And Tina was like, you know, that's very nice of you to think of them. And I think they'll appreciate it. But Carmel's quite stubborn and she'll probably say no. And she's like, but it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. So anyway, I was at the campground, and I was like, all right, I'm going to drive to, there's only one aid station really where 100 milers can get, have crew access, because the course was pretty strict. All the White Mountains, is this all protected lands. And so the race had to adhere to pretty strict standards. Very limited amount of people can be at aid stations. You know, you can't have crew. I think the 50 milers and the 100K couldn't have crew at all showing up. 100 milers could only at one spot. And so I sort of calculated where they were on the race, in the race, and how long it would take to get to this aid station where you could actually talk to them. So I drove there. It's probably a little over an hour. And so my whole intent was hopefully to get there to see Lee come through and check in on her and cheer her on, and to see Carmel come through. So I set up my camp chair, had a cowbell, had some snacks, you know. And really, almost as I was pulling into the aid station, Lee comes running down. So I caught Lee and I ran into the aid station kind of with her, just asking her how she was doing and helped her out a little bit. And I asked her, I said, you know, do you think, I said, how's Carmel doing? Do you know? And she said, you know, she's doing well. She's moving well.
Yes, because this is after turnaround point. So she had seen Carmel.
She had seen Carmel. Yeah, I guess she had seen her. And I said, do you think she'd be open to having a pacer? And Lee was funny. She's like, well, you can ask her. But she's quite stubborn and she's probably not going to want one. But here's the way to pitch it to her. Don't tell her. Don't ask her if you want any help. You know, just don't mention help. Don't say that. Say, hey, I was here. I came up. I wanted to check out the course. I was ready to pace. And now I can't. And, you know, it's not helping you. You'd really be helping me. You know, like, let me go see a few miles. She's like, but she's probably still going to say no. She's like, she's really stubborn. I said, she's like, it's worth a shot. You know, she's like, tell her I love her. And so that was that. And then, so Lee was off, and then I waited, and I did see Carmel. So I sort of moved up afterwards. I realized I was probably sitting in a spot I shouldn't have been, but I went up the road a little bit because I was looking for her to come down the road. It wasn't tight, but it was starting to get closer to the cutoff.
Yeah.
And I knew there was a part in the road where I just wanted to make sure that when she was coming out of the woods, she knew which way to go, that she didn't like miss the turn. And so then as she was coming in, I saw her, told her, you know, which way to go. And we talked a little bit. Hi, Carmel. We talked a little bit. We talked a little bit about, you know, how she was feeling and, you know, the aid station's right around the corner. So I started pitching the idea to her.
So at that point, Lee had left. And Laura, I don't know if you had realized this, but Lee, after she left, started going through her mind, like, maybe I should have nabbed Laura as a pacer. Like, because going into that second night.
Yeah. Well, yeah, going into the second night. And that was going to be part of my pitch too, because I think if any, from what I know about this now in hindsight, but during the day, just hearing about it, it was the conditions they were running in, how much elevation and climbing they were doing. I mean, this was like insane. This was like rock climbing in parts.
Yeah.
How exhausted you must be. And going into the second night, to me, it was almost a safety issue. I mean, it really, to me, it was. And it was also, you know, you guys probably know this from Carmel's, you know, race and Lee's race recap, but it was sort of self-navigation. I mean, of course, was not marked. So you had turn sheets, you had the course downloaded on your phone. But when you get that tired and delirious, and Lee was a little, you know, she was a little on the edge when she came in. I mean, she was, I was a little worried about her.
Hallucinations and...
She was okay, but she would definitely was a little out of it when she came in.
I
think going into the second night, I think it was almost for this race. I mean, I think you'd almost want to have someone just with you, just to make sure you're on course, just to make sure if you're starting to like nod off, just as a safety measure.
So between seeing Lee and before Carmel comes in, are you seeing other runners come through and getting more of an idea of where runners are on the course?
Yeah, definitely. There are, There were a few that came through, and there weren't that many, but they looked pretty, I mean, there was a few at that aid station that looked pretty wrecked that I wasn't sure if they were going to make it out of that aid station. And I think one or two came through and they looked okay enough. But there were also some 100K runners too. You could kind of tell at that point who was the 100K runner versus the 100 miler just because of the conditions sort of they were in, to be honest.
They looked about 38 miles fresher.
Yes, definitely. And I was telling Amy earlier, Carmel, that you and I have really not like talked since the race. Like, so like I gave you a couple of pictures and we exchanged a couple of notes, the pictures that I took of you on the course, but we hadn't really had a chance to like recap some of the nonsense that was that course.
We're going to have to see some of those pictures posted.
They're good pictures.
I want to see the glazed cool expression on Carmel's face. That nice.
No, she looked good. No, she looked good. She looked good.
When you saw the other runners coming through at that point, you know, there's only 14 people finished. So it's a small community of people out there on the course. Were you asking other runners like, hey, have you seen my runner?
Yes. Yes, I did actually. One person said that she was coming and not that far behind. So that was good. That was good.
All right. So,
and then convincing her, do you want to hear? Go ahead.
I think that to me, this is the big story is how you get Carmel to take a pacer.
Well, I think, and I'm not going to speak for her, she did say, listen, I am not fully recovered from my last 100 and maybe I probably, you know, I'm pretty beat up. And she's like, I don't normally have a pacer. I'm really quite stubborn. And I gave her the whole spiel. I said, well, Lee told me to tell you this, you know, Lee said to pitch to you this way, but I'll tell you exactly what Lee said. And, you know, I did say, you know, for safety and things like that, I, you know, I'm happy to do it. I would, you know, love to run some miles and,
Let me run.
Say that again, Amy.
You didn't give her a guilt trip. Like you drove an hour to be there.
No, I didn't tell her any of that. No. I didn't want to pressure her because if, you know, I don't want her to feel guilty. If you don't want somebody to run with you, then.
No, she did. I mean, she did say her runner dropped and she's here. She's ready to go. You know, she's I'm ready, you know, like that. So she didn't say that much. And, you know, at this point, I'm like, she must have heard about the course. I mean, at this point, what, more than half the runners are gone, almost half of the runners are gone.
So I heard other people's pacers were refusing to pace. Like, they didn't even want to see part of this course.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of runners I heard that from where their pacers wouldn't go out there with them. And then when Laura and I were out on course, there was this one section where somebody had a pacer with them who was afraid of heights. And they were like crab walking down this hill. Like, I don't think they ended up making the cutoffs. But yeah, this would not be a good race to be afraid of heights at.
No, and that's why it's, you know, if you're going to have a pacer, we can maybe get into this later, it's sort of good to do a little of that vetting or at least understand what the course is like and make sure the pacer knows what the course is like.
So, what did you do to do like real time vetting?
Verbal test though before Carmel would let me pace.
I do remember she said, you know, your wife told me that, you know, if I offer to help you, you're just going to say no. Like she was honest about that.
Yeah.
You know, but, I think it's like part of the intrigue. One, it was kind of interesting for me because in that moment, like usually like 99.9% of the time, I would have hated to even be in that position. But like in that moment, like, I don't know if it was like Laura or the race or a combination of the things, but like my immediate reaction in my head, even like my private reaction wasn't like, oh shit, how do I get out of this? Like,
how do I get rid of her?
It was like, oh, that could be, you know, that could be useful. And I'm tight on the cutoffs and at that aid station where she's pitching it to me, like she was helping, you know, fill my water while I'm doing shoes or socks, you know, sock change. Like, you know, it definitely
was a
like,
working
like,
interview.
I got to see her on the job a little bit. Yeah. You know, so I'm summing this up. Yeah. You know, and it definitely, she, first off, even in the way that that happened, like some pacers just could be so in your face. So of like, you know, what do you need? Are you sure you don't need anything else? And you're like, no, I'm good. And they're like, are you sure? And, you know, there was none of that. Like there was none of the extra banter that like I really can't stand about having crew or pacers or having. It was like she was just kind of on it, like water here, socks, you know, this, bam, you know, like it just there was not all the extra talking about it, you know. So I got to see the working interview, but then also just the fact that it's like, you know, that glimmer in her eye of like wanting to go out there after she's heard how horrible it is. Like there's something to that, like when like almost the force of the race is dropped, and the fact that that made her want to get out there and go pace was like, okay, so this is somebody who could do it. But I did ask her, I'm like, you know, how are you on technical down? Because my uphill is shot and I'm going to go fast to the technical down. You know, she's like, oh, my technical down's good. You know, I run fast on technical down. You know, like, I remember that, which it was funny because, like, my technical down was shot by that point, too. I just didn't know it yet. So once we got out there, she was, like, kicking my ass on the downs. It was, so that ended up being unnecessary. But, yeah, I get that's. That's all I remember asking about was like the down and then saying, well, I don't talk. And
that was the other. Yeah. Yeah. That's you're like, I don't really talk, you know, especially when I'm hurting and I'm very quiet. I'm like, oh, that's good. You know, I'm pretty introverted. I don't really talk that much either. So, you know, like, you know, we'll just not talk to each other and run. So
your pacing style is different than mine.
I do think she was sort of, you know, like feet and socks and, you know, helping her with her socks and shoes and stuff. And she was like Carmel was like apologizing. I'm like, oh, please, this is nothing, you know, like wet feet, socks, shoes. I don't care. You know, you just clean that crap out and get you going. So
the working interview went really well. Do you have like a pacing resume? Have you paced a lot of friends in these races before?
I have paced a bunch, and I just love to pace. I just think it's so much fun. And I really like hard courses, and I like inclement weather can be a lot of fun because
right up your alley. Pacing, hard course, inclement weather.
Yeah. Because you know, it's like there's a little bit of misery loves company, and it's a lot of fun just being out there. You're just like, I can't believe we're out in this. This is like insane. But you're sort of all in it together. So I don't know. I really enjoy pacing.
You see why this worked, Amy.
Yes. I can see why this worked. Yeah. This is quite a match. This is you guys are well paired for pacing.
Yeah, but I was shocked that she agreed to it. You know, I was like, awesome. And the other thing too is she, both Lee and Carmel, but Carmel especially because she was a little bit behind Lee at that time and, you know, ahead of the cutoffs, but not like huge cushion ahead, is to have come this far. I just was thinking like, please, I hope she lets me pace her. For her to have come this far in the race and then, you know, not make it, right? Because you're going into that second night and you're tired or you get off course or something, that would just be like horrible. So
what mile are we at when you join her?
Let me check my pacer manual.
That had to be, so there was the turnaround.
Yeah. Was it Sawyer Pond? So it was I saw you at Bartlett Experimental Forest.
Yeah, because it was like the turnaround and then the next aid station is where I saw her and she pitched this to me. And then I think it was the next aid station that I picked you up.
Yeah. And I said, okay, good. If you agree, then I said, then get yourself to the next aid station and I will be there.
So you agreed to have a pacer and then you had some time alone to dwell on the fact that you had just agreed to let someone pace you.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah. this is where it's funny because on that next segment is where when I told you in the podcast about how that guy then who had been like challenging me and like trolling me the whole race suddenly wanted to run with me. And I'm like, oh, I run my races alone. And then I'm like, well, except tonight I have a pacer, but I don't usually have a pacer. I just have a pacer because, you know, their runner dropped. So it's like, I had to be like, I never run with anybody except tonight, but it's not going to be with
me. But so you run out there, you've got the troll that you're trying to shake off and you're realizing I have a pacer. Were you looking forward to at that point? You're like, I'm gonna have a pacer after this.
I was by that time. I was looking forward to it, and especially like, I mean, I think the biggest like The emotional down that kept hitting was the mileage being off, and especially going in to pick up Laura, like the cutoffs were closing in, and they weren't, you know, my math was correct based on the aid station charts.
Yeah.
But the distance wasn't what the aid station charts said it was going to be by a lot. And yeah. So like my spirits were just kind of dwindling. By the time I got to the aid station where I picked Laura up, it's like, I'm 2 miles past where the aid station's supposed to be. The cutoff's closing in. Like, I don't even, what, did I get there like 10 or 15 minutes before the cutoff maybe? Like,
I think you were at that. I think you had some time there. I want to say maybe 20.
Maybe like 20 ahead, but you know, still at that point in the game, 20 minutes
that's
is no
close.
Longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's close. Like early in the race, 20 minutes wasn't close because of the way the cutoffs rolled. But at that point in the race, like you weren't going to get a buffer anymore. It was like 20 minutes was like, it's going to get smaller. It's going to keep pinching in, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, when I'm looking at my watch and I'm 2 miles past and I'm watching the time and I'm just like, oh God, like it was, and I'm hungry. That was the thing too, is I couldn't take my gels anymore. Like everything I had on me, I had calories on me, but everything I had on me was just gross to me at that point. Even like, you know, just like the lemon Oreo stuff that usually works or whatever. Like I couldn't consume that stuff. You know, this is day two. I wanted like a meal and it's like, I didn't have time, you know? So it was nice that like Laura made it possible to like, for me to down a cup of soup while she was doing some of the things that I would have otherwise been responsible for, you know, like I quickly had to down the soup, but it's like, I don't think I would have had time to eat it at all if it was like,
yeah, because you would have been refilling water bottles and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right, exactly. And like I said, there wasn't the extra banter that made it take more time. Like sometimes I think there ends up being so much extra banter that it's no quicker. There was none of that. She was just so on it. And even when we, you know, after I picked her up, when we were going into the aid stations, it would be ahead of the aid station where it's like kind of discuss it, like, what do you need? Yeah. I'll grab this and this and you do this. It wasn't like all this like extra talk while we're at the aid station throwing off my game. So yes, you know, to answer your question. Yeah. I think by the time I was rolling into that aid station, I really realized that there would be like benefit for if there was ever going to be a race where I had somebody with me that like this was the one, this was the time.
But while you're waiting for Carmel and now you know that you're going to join her as pacer, are you seeing other people come in and going, I've got a runner coming in. I've got a runner coming in.
Well, so after after Carmel agreed to let me pace her, I was like, well, crap. Cause it's a good hour back to like the campground where all my stuff was.
Right.
And then I had to figure out I think I grabbed your watch, right? Your watch.
Charging.
And we had to, so she, I took her watch and we had to find a Coros charger because I use Garmin. So I drove back to the campground and I had to try to find someone I had to change real quick. I had to get her watch charged and I had to get to the next aid station and I had to get somebody to take me there because you can't leave, you can't drive as a pacer and leave your car. So I was like, all right, I remember saying to Carmel, like, you don't worry about it. I'll figure out how to get there. You just get to the next aid station and I'll be there. But I'm going on like the chat on the Facebook chat for the Jigger Johnson race and saying, can anybody drive me to this aid station? And does anybody have a Coros charger and all this other stuff? And it was great. Somebody said, I have a Coros charger. I'll meet you at like the start finish and drop it off there. So I went there, got that. And then Sarah, who had sort of been like out and about after she dropped. I mean, she and her son were volunteering. They were actually volunteering at the road crossing right before I saw Lee and Carmel. So Sarah said, you know, I saw Lee come through and she said, you know, Carmel was, you know, not too far behind her. But like Sarah was sort of out and about and I was sort of surprised that she was doing so much because she'd done all that running and hadn't slept much. But she saw my note on the chat and she's like, I'll drive you to take Carmel. So she drove me up to the aid station. And then remember, she was there, Carmel. She wanted to see you.
Yeah.
I don't know if, did you see her? She wanted to see you come in. And no, yeah. You didn't see her.
She, leave,
she
like,
left
right
about
before.
5 minutes.
Yeah
just a few minutes
like,
before. She was so tired. I was giving her coffee from the aid station. I'm like, take a nap and then drive back. And so that's how I got. So then I picked you up there And that's where, yeah, that gentleman said that he didn't think you were going to make it. And I was like, oh, she's going to make
it. Gentleman might be a generous.
The guy we were previously talking about.
Yeah.
The troll.
I wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
What made him think Carmel wasn't going to make it?
Oh, well, I think this was his, I don't think he'd done, I think this might've been his first 100. So he seemed to think, well, cause she was walking for a little bit. I'm like, everybody walks in hundreds. Like you can't finish if you're not going to walk part of it.
Right. Well, it's funny cause I slowed down when he was with me. Cause I was like, no, you go ahead. I am going to take it easy here for a little bit.
And he was like obsessed that she didn't have poles and she wasn't using poles. And I'm like, some people are using poles in the race. Some people weren't.
Right.
But she doesn't normally use them, so.
Right.
But that he was really upset about that for some reason. And I was like, well, I brought poles. If she wants to use them, she can use them. You know, I just stuck them in my bag.
You didn't want to use them, did you?
But he was waiting for her to come through because he was afraid of the water crossings. And he didn't want to go through them by himself. But they had calmed down, I think, by the time we went back, because it was an out and back course. So right. It rained so much the day before I think the streams were up quite high, and he was a little nervous about how fast they were flowing on the outbound. But on the way back, I think they weren't too bad.
Yeah,
they were worse on the first day because of the rain.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you have more energy to handle them, so that probably worked out.
But yeah, some of those aid station cutoffs were a little tight, huh, Carmel?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it closed in. And then ultimately, yeah, I mean, like, well, I don't know what order, if you had an order of events that you wanted to.
We're kind of going in the order that events happen.
Yeah. So
we've gone through the, like, convincing you to take a pacer. We're at the point where you guys are just getting, we're about a half hour into this, and we've got you now. Getting on actually starting the race together.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, our first segment together was that swamp, like, up creeks and through river crossing section. So you know, that was Laura's first exposure to the course.
Yeah. And I kept asking Carmel, because, you know, she'd done it the one way, but you know, that was the day before, and you're going back. And a couple of times I said, are you serious? Like, this is really the course. Like, are you sure? I'm like, this. And she's like, oh, yeah, this is the course. And I kept checking, like, the turn sheet. I'm like, yep, straight up that, like, uphill stream, fast flowing river. That is the course. I mean, it was nuts. It was nuts. Sarah prepared me. So I had an idea, but I just started laughing. And there was, like, frogs jumping all over the place because there was so much water. I mean, it was crazy. It was,
I mean, really, that's what was great about Laura, too. The worse the course got, the more she'd, like, laugh, and she'd be like, really? And, like, laugh.
No, you're going through an actual swamp, though, like, disgusting swamp muck, and it's, like, up to your knees, and I was just laughing. It's just so ridiculous. I thought it was kind of, I mean, I thought it was fun, because, like, you're out there. You have to do it.
Like, the swamp of sorrows, like,
Were you... So I think you were with each other for 20 miles of this.
Right. Which is about that, I think. Right.
Well, I think because the course was so, I think I ended up almost with 26 miles, even though it was supposed to only be 20. But right. Like Carmel said, that was the problem was, you know, as a pacer, you're supposed to be kind of like, you know, you're not trying to get your runner nervous about cutoffs and time, but you're supposed to be kind of discreetly checking.
Yes.
How far to the next aid station? How much time do we have? We have to kind of, like, keep moving. And she was amazing that she was, like, moving the whole time. But you don't want to get them nervous, but you're kind of looking. I'm like, it's right. So hard because you don't know if it's, like,
it's hard to do the math when you don't know the
four.
Yeah.
You know? And remember that one time where we had to push it pretty hard?
Oh, yeah. There was this one when the guy was with us, too. Like, the 100K guy was, like,
Yeah.
I mean, we were booking it. I would love to see what... I think, you know, my watch was on and off and things. You know, the batteries were dying and such. But I would love to know, like, what we were pacing for that portion. Like, it was like we were coming really, really tight up against an aid station. And that one, I think we got to, like, just a few minutes before, like,
I think maybe, we had, like, maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was literally like 3 or 4 minutes before the cutoff. But we ran like so hard. Like it was ridiculous, you know, night two, like yes. You're that far into that race. And like, we were booking it, just like booking it.
So I couldn't believe she was running like that, you know? And I was like, we just have to push a little bit harder. And yeah. And that was the one, I think that was the aid station where the aid station volunteers were like, listen, Aravipa's here. She said, I think this one, they said Aravipa's here. So they're being really strict. So you got to get in and get out.
Yeah.
So, you know, we grabbed as much as we could. And then I think pretty much it's like, as soon as you step away from the aid station, you're technically out. And then you can like go sit on a log and gather yourself and do what you need to do.
Yeah, because before that, you know, at least we had the knowledge that they let that guy go like 10 minutes after that, you know, even though he missed the cutoff by like 10 minutes or more, that they let him go. But when they said that, like, oh, we're not allowed, you know, Aravipa says don't let anybody go past the cutoffs and all that. Yeah. And then things like, you know, then we're like, oh, so then it's like you really, you know, not that I wanted to miss one anyway, but just like, it was a little bit of a peace of mind where it's like, well, if I'm going to say something, like if they let somebody, it's not fair to let one person go and not another. And then your course is like 15 miles longer than.
Yeah. You know.
But so that it closed in. And then I think there is one section that's a little easier. And then we get to a section. Oh, it's not easier. It definitely had a mountain or something. But I remember we got to the section that had the, like the craziest part I did with you, like the Osceolas. And when we started that, I was like, I don't really remember this section being noteworthy. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up being like the most noteworthy time together. Like it just, I guess it had been totally different coming down the mountain.
Yeah.
For one. And I guess I just blocked it out in my head or mixed it up or whatever, but it ended up being the most insane section with where you have like, I think they call it the chimney. Like you're going like, cause it's almost like climbing up a chimney, I guess. Like, you know, like you're just kind of like, you're almost going straight up basically just like climbing the rocks, you know,
Amy, it was nuts. Yeah. So, I think I remember Carmel saying like, oh, I don't think this is that bad. This section, I don't really remember much about it. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what the hell? Hand over hand rock climbing. And the sun was coming up, so it was beautiful. But I was laughing. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's one of like the New Hampshire 4,000 footers, the 48 of the 4,000 footers in New Hampshire that people like try to go after and tag. Like, this is one of them.
And it's just on the course.
Course. It's crazy. And Tecumseh, too, was another one. So...
I mean, it was one of those moments where it's like, are we sure we go up there? Because it just didn't, you know, because you're like this. You're like, that doesn't seem right. But then you're like looking at the watch and the phone and it's like, no, that's where it says to go.
That was awesome. But I mean, to do that so fatigued was amazing.
Well, I think that's when the sun started to come up then too. So that was cool.
Cool. So you finish line together, right? Is there anything, any else notable things you want to talk about on the course?
Well, the last aid station.
Yeah, the last aid station. So it was one of those where we're just like, you know, trying to book it. And this is after this, you know, this section, this Osceola section. And, you know, we go up the chimney and we finally get to a point where it's like, you think the climbs are done. You think you're going downhill. You think it's all downhill from here. And I remember just kind of turning a bend and we were both like, are you serious? Like it was another just like huge climb. And I think that's the only time that like I got like really outwardly discouraged where like I actually said, you know, I thought things in my head a couple times, but I think that was kind of one of the nice things about like having Laura as a pacer is that we don't know each other very well. We met like at the camp getaway the one time. And I think if I had been with like somebody more, you know, the only other person I've run with in a situation like that is Lee. And it's like, I think if it's somebody where it's like, you have the closeness that Lee and I have, where we've like cried on each other's shoulders and such before, I think it's easier in that moment to get like emotional because of the familiarity, but like, you know, there's kind of an unfamiliar, you know, for all, like I enjoyed running with Laura, we don't know each other very well. And so it would have been weird to just start crying or, you know, like, but that was like that first time of just kind of emotion hitting me. And she said something like, are you all right? And I, like, you know, just cause I paused for a second and she said, are you all right? And I was like, I don't think the math works anymore. I don't think the math's gonna work anymore. It, you know, we don't know that, you know, and that was it. And then we just kept going, you know, but like, I think if it's like somebody who, like I said, if it had been Lee, I think it could like, you know, it would have been a more emotional thing, but we didn't have time for emotions. We just, you know, we just pressed on. It was, so we went, made the climb down. It started the running down. And again, it's just like, you're getting past the point that you should have been to the aid station based on the chart, which we know by now, but we still, no, I hadn't been able to really keep track of how far things were off by. So even though I went out one way, it's like, I still didn't know, is this off by 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles? Like you still have no idea. And we're getting to all that and the time's creeping up. And it got to the point where we were just running as fast as we could, where once we were down, we didn't have any more climbs. We were kind of down the mountain, just running. And, you know, I'm not even looking at my watch at this point. It's so close. You just know looking at your watch is going to do it. And we run into the aid station and we're both just kind of dart in there. We're both like, can we go? And the woman's like, yeah, of course, you got an hour. And Laura's like, are you sure? Cause, and she's like, yeah, right. And she's like, wait, what's the cutoff for the 100 miler? And some guy's like, whatever, you know, on the hour. And she's like, oh, because the 100K people apparently had an extra hour to get through there for whatever reason, which I think was a mistake anyway, because they pushed back the 100-mile cutoffs to match the 100K cutoffs in every other instance. So it was probably kind of an error anyway. And she's like, oh, well, I got to make a call. And it turns out we got there, I think, 2 minutes past, like exactly 2 minutes past what the original cutoff would have been. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew, I forgot that you said that the math isn't working earlier. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work either, but we got to try. We got to do everything we can to get there. And I remember coming down off all that climbing and it was fairly runnable. And I was like, I'm going to try to push ahead a little bit of you just to get in there. And I'm looking at my watch and it was 8 a.m. was our cutoff time. And I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, it was like 8 and then like 8:01. And I started to like almost cry, like getting emotional. Like if we made it this far,
right,
and we don't get to go, I'm going to be like, you know, I started getting emotional coming in there. I'm like, well, I can't do that. So yeah, then I run and I'm like, my runner's here. And they're like, where? I'm like, she's coming. She's right there. And because I was like, if I can get there, like, really close.
But like she's in the aid station. There. You just can't, she's just not part where she's visible yet.
Yeah,
but then
that
when
was
you
the
add,
last aid station.
Yeah, you know, and then when you add the fact that the woman's like, "You have an hour," and then she's like, "Oh, you know, like
it's emotional roller coaster."
Yeah, so then she's like, oh, "I got to make a phone call," and while she's doing, you know, at this point, because her reaction and everything, because I realized that we're like within 2 minutes, I'm like, "All right, well, you do that. I'm just gonna fill my water and like, you know, like I'm putting that in my best," and like she's like. Yeah, she's calling the race director, the aid station worker, and the aid the RD doesn't pick up. But Laura's like telling her, "Tell her she looks good. Tell her she looks good." And it's true. Like we'd come bursting in there, you know.
She's moving well. She looks good. She's gonna finish. I was like, "She's gonna finish."
Yeah. And so then the aid station worker, you know, she was so sweet. She's just like, "Yeah. I'm calling it. Just go." And then right at that time is like the RD called her phone and was like, "Yeah, let her go." You know, like so. Yeah. It was just like, yeah. So I mean, we got out of there within 3 minutes of the cutoff. I would say.
Yeah.
It was just like all so quick. It was just bam, bam, bam. Like, But yeah, I mean, that was definitely a point of like,
it was pretty stressful.
That whole segment leading up to that moment. And we worked so hard to get there that would have been devastating. But like I said, knowing that they were letting other people go past the cutoffs and then even the aid station worker thinking that there was another hour for the cutoff because the 100 people, when they did match the cutoffs in the other case, the extra 15 miles and stuff. So it makes, you know, it makes sense and it works, but it was too close for comfort for sure. And then that last section, fortunately, is that from the last aid station to the finish line, fortunately, was gentle compared to the rest of the course, for sure. And it was funny because my brain was going so kind of stupid that, like, I remember some talk came up about, do we have to go up the ski resort hill or something? Like, you know, like Laura's speculating about how bad the last section's going to be. And I'm like, oh, I hope we don't have to go up a ski resort hill. I completely forgot that, like, I ran the course, like, from that, you know, like, it's like, no, I'm just going to be doing the section that I already did in reverse, you know, so I didn't go through any ski resort. Like, I'm like, no. I think, you know, it finally clicked where, like, after all this worry, I was like, no, wait, no, the part leaving the race to get to the woods was actually not bad. Yeah. So that last section was not too terrible, which was really good because, like, by that point, I had no more fight, like, left in me. It was like we had pushed so hard so many times that it was just like, oh my gosh, I can't do any more real fight. So golden hour finish right here.
Nice.
Yeah. And second place female, both of those. Golden hour finish, DFL, second place female.
Yeah. Well, I remember at one point Carmel asking me, she's like, am I in last place? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. But it doesn't matter. There's only two women left in the race, you and Lee. I said, we're going to finish. You got to finish.
Yeah,
it doesn't, you know, like place. Out of 14 people, out of the finishing rate and the drop rate, it doesn't matter what you
want. I mean, I didn't even care about being in last place. I think it was more just a curiosity thing that really settling in because I'd been in last place the whole race. And it's like, it's just crazy that so few people are like left now. And then it's like, hey, am I still in last place? And really the people I saw in the turnaround are all that's left. Like, is that,
Because you're used to like starting you're pacing yourself. You're starting slow and then picking people off at the end. But all the people that you normally would have picked off dropped.
Right. So that was weird. That was super weird. And you're right. That has always been my strategy. And in, very often people never pass me in the last 25 miles. Like I only pass people. And well, same with this race, actually.
Nope. Did anybody pass you in the last 25? Laura, do you remember anyone passing you guys?
No, nobody would have thought.
It was nice to have some of the 100K people still out on the course and people behind. And so you didn't feel like you were the last ones there and they weren't packing up the aid station. I mean, there were still a good number of 100Kers out on the course. So that was kind of nice.
And then that guy the guy we mentioned who was running really fast behind us, who was a 100K guy, like when we had really picked up the pace, he was at the last aid station and he was going to drop. Like, he's like, I already have more than 100K on my watch. Like, you
know. It's not about the watch, man. It's about
calling it.
He was like, I have already more than 100K in, and like this, like, you know, there's this whole other section. He's like, but like the aid station, I guess she convinced him to go back out because after I finished, he ended up coming in. But
good.
That was kind of funny though, because he's like, I'm already at 100K. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So now you've got the sample size of the course. All right. You're going to go back and do the 100K that you signed up for? Or are you going to go the full 100 miles?
I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I don't know. That's hard. That's really hard. I personally don't know if I could finish the 100, whatever it ended up being, 115 mile race that was. I would need probably a pacer, at least one or two, I think, to get through it. So I don't know. We'll see. I still have credit for next year, and I also got some volunteer credit. But we'll have to see. I think Eastern States is around the same time next year, and I might consider doing that, but I don't know. But I definitely do. I will go back to Jigger Johnson and do one of the distances. I don't know.
How fantastic is that? Like after all that,
after all that,
I would totally do that. I don't know about the 100 though. I mean, the 115, whatever it ended up, that was really difficult. And I think you're wrecked for a while after that.
And from the sounds of that race, like doing 100K of that race is probably a lot more impressive than a lot of the 100 milers that are out there to run.
I would think it's, yeah, similar in effort, if not probably harder than some of the a lot of the 100 milers out there, the 100K. I would think so. Don't you, Carmel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's good. She finished well above the cutoff. I mean, at the end, I mean, I don't know, would you finish like 20 minutes, 30 minutes before?
I don't remember.
Is it on Ultra Sign Up?
It should be on Ultra Sign Up. Yeah, I don't remember what the final time
is. But you had plenty of time. We were almost that last aid station. Like, let's just prove them, like, let's make sure that they know. I mean, she ran so well that last section. And that coming down off this Tecumseh Mountain, there was like stairs after stairs after stairs. I mean, it was just brutal.
Oh, gosh, yeah. They were like the awful kind of spacing stairs, though.
With the stairs, the big rock, and they tried to make them look kind of cool. And it just was never ending, it felt like. And then it was pretty calm. But again, we couldn't tell. I mean, did you have 2 miles left? Do you have 4 miles left? I don't know. So we kept looking at it. And I was like, I think we're close. I think we're close.
I had trouble reading these Ultra Sign Up results. So I'm like, wait, what? Why does it say 5 hours? Oh, it says 2 days. 5 hours and 22 minutes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You had a pretty good cushion. So it made everyone who the woman who especially made the call at that last aid station let you go. You finished with plenty of time to spare.
Yeah. So you justified her decision.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. She was at the finish too. And then the people that we borrowed the Chorus watch charger from. They were so, she's like, they were at the finish line and they congratulated you. I don't know if you remember, but they're like, they came up to me afterwards. It was a husband and wife, I think. They said, after we, you know, let you borrow the charger, we were so invested in your runner finishing. Like, we've been following. And she was like, they were so happy. Yeah. Well, you know, because there was only two women too, you know?
Yeah.
You were one of them. So, yeah, they were really stoked for you.
That was but good. Like that gives a little of the victory to them too. They're like, we helped.
Yeah. Exactly. They were part of it.
Watch is a good watch.
Yep. So
you know, like that good charged watch that I couldn't look at for the last 20 miles. Don't look at the watch.
But yeah, in our podcast, Lee had talked about getting disoriented in kind of that swampy area, and that's one of the things I was going to say, that was especially an area that it helped tremendously to have a pacer, like to have just the bulk of, yeah, I was helping a little with the navigation, like backing things up, where if she was like, oh, I don't know if this is right, it's saying go that, you know, sometimes where it just seemed not right, but it was right, so we checked three different things because we're like, surely we shouldn't have to go through there. According to all three of these devices, we have to go through there. So there was a little bit of that, but for the most part, it did take a huge load off that like Laura was navigating, and at times I could just be like, you know, kind of half asleep, just following the light in front of me without using too much brain power. Like, that was tremendously helpful as well.
Yeah, and we didn't have any room to err. Like, we had no room to err on things.
Yeah. You know, can't add 5 miles.
We couldn't add like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Really. So.
Right.
Yeah. But it was so much fun. And I'm so glad she said that. I'm so glad she let me. I was telling my husband, like, oh my God, it was so much fun. I had the best time. And
that's like, awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm
sorry. Like, it was rainy and difficult.
It was awesome. And that's the beauty of pacing. You don't have to do the whole thing. And it's not your race. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But I will say, though, the one thing I was thinking about when I first started pacing Carmen, and mostly the whole race, you know, to the end, was because Lee and Carmel do not use pacers, and Carmel never uses pacers, the pressure I felt to make sure she got to the finish line, because I was like, I don't want her to think that, what if I screwed her up? Like, what if she would have been better off without a pacer on my own? Right. So I'm like, I got a vested interest to represent pacers worldwide.
Yes.
You're not going to inhibit this woman's race. We're going to help. It's like, I have to get her to the finish line. Come help.
Thank you for being a fine example of our people, the Pacers.
I guess this is the one time I can't screw it up, you know.
Representation. So,
So
awesome. Well, I thank you so much for doing the call.
Oh, it was so much fun.
About this race. This race sounded super, super fun. I'm fully invested in watching you do it next year, no matter what distance you end up doing, because it sounds intense enough that if you did a 5K there, I'd be wanting to know how it went.
Yeah, you can pace me, Amy.
Well, I am one of those pacers who's afraid of heights, so you got to pick your section carefully.
That's fair.
But yeah, that'd be fantastic. Keep us posted for sure if you you do end up registering.
Awesome. All right.
Thanks,
guys.
So much fun. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Congrats again, Carmel.
Laura.
All right. See you. Bye.